for calling. And it's good to know somebody cares. And yeah, she's gone, but I don't feel like talking. Might be just too much to bear to hear somebody say it's time certain, or to hear somebody say she ain't worth it. 'Cause you don't know like I do, you never understand. And you don't know we've been through, you think girl's my best friend. And there's no way you're gonna help me, she's the only one who can. No, you don't know how much I got to lose, you don't know like I do.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Before heading to Michigan today, Vice President Kamala Harris on the tarmac commenting about what happened at Madison Square Garden Sunday at former President Trump's rally.
What he did last night is not a discovery. It is just more of the same and maybe more vivid than usual.
The rally featuring an opening comedian who called Puerto Rico a, quote, island of garbage. Another opening speaker calling Kamala Harris the Antichrist and the devil. Trump to campaign in Georgia today. President Biden cast an early ballot today near his home outside Washington. For all but a few years since 1970, Biden has held office or been running for one during election season. McDonald's says it's putting Quarter Pounders back on the menu after testing and ruling out the beef and pointing to the slivered onions as a source of the E. coli outbreak. Some locations will now serve the burgers without onions. This is ABC News. The New York City prison, where Sean Diddy Combs is being held, is at the center of an operation involving several federal agencies. Sources say the operation is intended to maintain a safe environment for both employees and incarcerated individuals. Despite hefty fines and prison sentences handed to people convicted of aiming high-intensity lights at airborne helicopters and planes, pilots continue to file reports of laser strikes.
The reports come from pilots of small planes.
Yeah, we're getting the green laser right now.
Commercial jetliners.
We just encountered a laser 3 miles.
Even military aircraft.
Green laser.
Green laser, okay.
The audio from liveatc.net. Houston Sheriff's helicopter pilot David Wren says,
if they're in takeoff, landing, or coming in for an approach, and they have no reference to the ground, they could crash.
So far this year, 9,000 laser strikes have been reported to the FAA. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Game 3 of the World Series moves to New York tonight. The LA Dodgers lead the series against the Yankees 2-0. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Pluto TV is a place for movie fans like me.
And TV fans like me.
They've got something for everyone, and it's free.
I love free, and I love Jersey Shore.
For me, it's The Godfather.
SpongeBob SquarePants, I am Patrick. Patrick is me.
Oh, Forrest Gump, come on.
Criminal Minds, solving crime after bedtime.
Whatever you love to watch, Pluto TV makes it easy with thousands of free movies and shows.
Pluto TV, stream now, pay never.
Everyone on the road is trying to make it to their destination safely. You can help by staying aware of the large trucks and buses around you. They take longer to stop, have large blind spots, and make wide turns that require caution from other drivers. It takes all of us working together to share the road safely. Learn more at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov. Paid for by FMCSA.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Tad Ehlen. A busy midweek is coming on the Wisconsin presidential trail.
Wednesday, Vice President Kamala Harris will be in Madison. Former President Donald Trump in the Green Bay area. Trump hosts a rally at the Resch Center in Ashwaubenon, joined by former Packers quarterback Brett Favre. The event starts at 6. Harris will be on the University of Wisconsin campus for a noon Get Out the Vote concert and rally featuring musical artists Gracie Abrams, Mumford & Sons, Remy Wolf, and members of The National. Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
In addition to the Wednesday events, Republican vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance campaigns in Racine today, while First Lady Jill Biden and Gwen Walls, wife of Harris's running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walls, will be in La Crosse. Agents with the Wisconsin Department of Justice sought cell phones, computers, and other devices as part of an investigation for possible election fraud by Wausau Mayor Doug Dinney. That's according to a copy of a search warrant obtained by WisPolitics. During a press conference last week, Dinney said agents said little when they served the warrant at his office.
I'll respectfully say that I had very little speaking opportunity when they were confiscating my material in my office. I mean, we all know what happened. One would have expected a conversation with the mayor as to, you know, what happened, but that has yet to happen.
Dinney said agents also showed up at his apartment where his wife was watching their grandchildren. The 7-page warrant was signed by an Eau Claire County judge. The DOJ investigation stems from Dinney's actions last month when he removed the city's ballot drop box from the front of City Hall to his office. The drop box was locked and not yet in use, and it remains unclear what law Dinney may have broken. The box has since been returned and is in use.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit Wisconsin Soybean.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Partly sunny today and unseasonably warm. That's thanks to the south breeze whipping up to 30 miles per hour, taking our temperatures to the low 70s. As they continue to stay feisty overnight and through tomorrow, we spike to 80 degrees. All ahead of rain rolling in on Wednesday into Thursday. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, it's 59 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Governor Newsom wants a quick decision on making E15 available across the state. We'll get the latest on that development and think about what it might mean across the country. And it is Monday. That means it's time for an update on what's happening in the used machinery market.
Live with brand new infrastructure installed via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll begin with a conversation with Machinery Pete. That's Greg Peterson. Then it's Jeff Cooper from the Renewable Fuels Association. Directly following the news, Kirk Hins from BAMWX. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, welcome the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis, geez. With new infrastructure installed, right. it makes me think that some sort of an environmental catastrophe was avoided.
Yes, absolutely it was. New septic Good. Line. Yeah, new septic
nice.
Line all the way out to the street. Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Here's the thing.
Well, I'm sure that was cheap.
Worth it. Let's just say that. Because you flush the toilet and the stuff goes away. I don't know where it goes, but it goes away again, which is great. Yeah, just make it go away. Here's the other thing, though. They had to dig down, like, I don't know, 15, 20 feet in the front yard.
Sure, sure.
They did a beautiful job of putting all the dirt back, packing it down real good, starting at the very lowest levels. You know, you got to tamp that down.
Yeah.
But now there's a big hill that just sort of ends at the sidewalk edge here. So, hello, more new infrastructure. I got to get a landscaping guy to come and help me keep my dirt now. That's the next thing. It just never ends.
I'm telling you. Never ends is exactly right. You know,
fortunately, Kansas City is populated with some of the most talented and generous craftspeople known to modern man. I got that going for me. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Good folks.
Absolutely. It's not hard to find good help down there. That's how I understand
so far.
It anyway. All right. 55 degrees up here this morning, heading for a high in the low 70s.
We had a beautiful weekend. It's supposed to be a little warmer today here. We're 66, headed for 83, but it's windy. It's a cold wind blowing.
Yeah, the wind is expected to pick up here out of the south and bring some potential for record high temperatures into northeast Iowa tomorrow. So we'll see, and we'll check with Kirk on that here in just a moment. We got a lot of ground to cover. Let's go ahead and get it going. Mm-hmm.
Well, the National Weather Service is calling for a strong Pacific system to track across the Intermountain West early this week. Strong winds and higher elevation snow will affect the western states. Farther east here, strong southerly winds will usher in record warmth for most of the central and eastern United States. The threat for rapid spread of wildfires today, then increasing chances for severe thunderstorms for the center of the nation. Rains fell across center west and center south Brazil during the weekend, Chip, and more rainfall through those areas is expected over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, we'll get an update from Kirk here in just a moment. So,
good deal. Yep. Private exporters reported the following sales activity. 124,000 metric tons of corn sold for delivery to Japan during the 24-25 marketing year, and 120,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to unknown destinations also for the 24-25 marketing year. Chip, is that 9 days demand in a row of daily corn sales?
I think that's right. I think that's right. 9 consecutive business days in a row.
Wow.
With a daily export sales announcement for corn. That's good news. Now, it's not really doing that much to support the corn market here this morning, but it's good to see the demand coming in here.
Well, Chip, oil prices fell sharply after Israel's weekend attacks on Iran avoided targeting key oil and nuclear infrastructure. Iran's measured response, signaling no immediate retaliation, helped ease fears of regional supply disruption. Let me just scroll down a little bit. What's the crude look like currently here, Chip? You got it on?
Crude
here we go.
Right now is down huge.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Wow. D's off like 420 right now. Wow.
Right. Decide not to attack the Iranian oil facilities evidently is good for $3.50, $4 in downside in this crude oil market. Wow.
I guess thanks then. Election year politics, clearly the focus in Washington, with November 5 elections deciding the fate of the White House, the House, and the Senate. Polls suggest a tight race for the presidency and the House, with most expecting a GOP takeover of the Senate. It's almost over, Chip.
Yeah, yep.
Well, according to the University of Florida Election Lab, over 41 million Americans voted early as of yesterday afternoon. More than 65 million mail-in ballots were requested. Of those, about 21 million ballots have been returned. Additionally, over 20 million people have cast early in-person votes.
Yeah, I like to make a thing of it on Election Day. Be, you know, one of the first in line at the precinct and, you know, grab a donut or something on the way home along with my I voted sticker. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, little treat.
Yeah,
that's good. USDA raised its food price inflation outlook for both 2024 and 2025, with all food prices in 2024 now expected to rise 2.3%. That's up from 2.2% in September. Egg prices in focus, continued volatility there. 2024 costs projected to rise 8.8%, driven by the ongoing impact of highly pathogenic avian influenza. China's industrial profits plunged to 27.1% from a year earlier in September. That's the steepest fall of the year. And finally, McDonald's on Sunday ruled out beef patties as a source of the E. coli outbreak linked to quarter pounders. Colorado Department of Ag said all subsamples of multiple lots of McDonald's brand fresh and frozen beef patties have tested negative. Chip.
All right, Davis. Thank you very much. Let's bring in Kirk Hinz, BAMWX.com. Good morning, Kirk.
Good morning, sir. How are we?
Hey, I'm good. Temperatures are warm. It's going to be a little windy, though, it looks like.
Yeah, yeah, especially the first half of the week for the Plains. Definitely going to be windy, but you mentioned that warmth. It's not one to go away very quickly. I think the next 1 to 2 weeks, it's pretty locked in. Still thinking the consensus agreement is like, whereas we're getting into that second half of November, as we're going towards the first holiday into Thanksgiving, I think that's when that real colder change can start to work in. But no doubt the next couple of weeks, definitely warm.
Okay. And there's some chances for rains making their way into the outlook, isn't there?
Yes. Yeah. Especially over the next 5 to 10 days for like your Wisconsin's, Iowa's, the Southern Plains, pretty significantly wetter, I would say, especially since how dry that it's been, you know, multiple inches on the forecast there. So next 5 to 10 days, that's where that focus is going to be, especially across the central United States. So,
yeah, wet trick or treating on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, there definitely is a front that to work through. I'm not sure it's a washout for anybody, but again, it's been so dry lately. Got to note it.
Yeah, exactly. What, any feature out of South America?
Yeah, I would say a couple things. Central Brazil, those rains have been verifying. So just to kind of mention that one real quick. Still think Southern Brazil, Uruguay, Argentina, that's the area to watch. More so for the longer term, you know, November, December, as we're going into the new year, just based on this La Nina-like feel, that's the area to watch where there would be dryness to set up. So again, no major red flags at the exact moment. It's something to look forward to over the coming months.
Yeah, and we need to keep track of what's happening in the ENSO status and the development or lack of development Absolutely. In this La Nina going forward. So we'll keep relying on you guys at BAMWX for that. Thank you, Kirk.
Awesome. Thanks, Chip.
All right, that's Kirk Hans, BAMWX.com. All right, coming up next, it's Monday morning. Time for an update on what's happening in the used machinery markets. Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete, next. No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
This is Andrew McCray, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Meet the Bridgestone VX Tractor Tire, the new benchmark for long-lasting wear in the high-horsepower tractor tire category. The VX Tractor Tire delivers 45% more wear life. Visit FirestoneAg.com for more. The Bridgestone VX Tractor in sizes 600/70R28 and 710/70R42 delivers more wear life compared to the equivalent sizes of Michelin Mach XBIB. Projected wear life based on field test data. Actual results will vary depending on several factors such as tire size, operating conditions, maintenance, field conditions, and driving style.
Building a new home or remodeling and need a new plumber? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need a perk test or septic system? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need sewer line cleaning or repair? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need a new water heater or repair? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. From basic plumbing to big projects, call Chris Bauer of Bauer Plumbing and Septic Service at 715-672-8224. That's 715-672-8224.
Life is better with American Family Insurance because our agents provide specialized local expertise to help you get the right coverage at the right price. We understand that dairy farming is at the heart of what you do, and we want to help protect what you've worked so hard for. Let's build the policy your dairy farm deserves.
Contact Paul Slusher, your American Family Insurance agent serving Durand and Chippewa Falls.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Machinery Pete on AgriTalk is brought to you by Firestone Ag. Firestone Ag now offers Bridgestone tractor tires, the ultimate lineup of tires engineered to deliver enhanced wear life, durability, and ride comfort on the road. Learn more, talk to your local certified Firestone Ag dealer.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us for one of the highlights of the week. We get to have a conversation with Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. How you doing, Greg?
Hey, I'm doing well, man. Highlight of the week. Thanks for that. Well, I'm doing well. Left me speechless. Jeez,
don't be thrown by that, Greg. I must not show my appreciation enough.
No, it's just hard for Norwegians to accept compliments. That's just all that is. My bad. Thank you.
There you go. Okay, let's get right to it with the pick of the week. What do you got?
Well, pick of the week. Before I hop into that, I do want to do a quick little shout out. I threw a note on social yesterday. Alvin Al McQuinn, actually, needed a shout out for Al. He was 93 years old, passed away last Wednesday. Al was the founder of AgChem company in 1963, of course, Jackson, Minnesota, and developed the Rogators and the Terragators.
Yeah,
precision agriculture, kind of a pioneer there. Amazing life, passed away at 93. So shout out to Al an amazing life in American agriculture there. And then if we transition to the pick of the week, we're heading to North Carolina. Sale Saturday, Chip. I had posted about this sale last week in advance. I kind of suspected it would be a hot one. Very nice equipment. It was a farm estate auction. Zebulon, North Carolina, sailed by my friend Jason Acock, and some really strong prices. They had a John Deere 7830, low hours, 1,020 hours, brought $150K. That's the highest auction price this year on a 7830. Yeah. For you Case fans, they had a 2390 with low hours again, 2,745 hours. That brought $23,000, third highest auction price ever on a 2390. They had a New Holland 555E backhoe. Similar deal, very low hours, 1,362 hours. That went for $34,000, tied for the highest auction price ever on a 555E. Bush Hog 2815, 15-foot batwing mower, like new condition. That brought $23K, second highest auction price ever. Kind of an interesting combine, a John Deere 9450. Don't see a ton of those around these days. 3,012 engine hours, that brought $40K. And then a pickup, a 23 model Chevy Z71 4x4 crew cab, Duramax diesel, only 1,673 miles. So, I mean, it's like a demo unit, basically. That brought $49,000. So that was quite a sale Saturday in Zebulon, North Carolina.
Yeah, I guess. Well, and that truck sale shows just how they are holding their value even as we get further and further from the supply disruptions that we were dealing with.
Yeah, I mean, used pickups, the new ones are still so expensive that anytime you see a used one with low miles, it still obviously attracts a lot of interest. This one was white, I forgot to mention. I do like to track the color of pickups. I've always been partial to black myself. I don't know, my Mrs. Machinery Pete is very particular about washing her vehicles. I am not, on the other hand. So I don't know if black, if that's good or bad, if that hides it. But anyway, that was a sharp white pickup that brought $49K Saturday.
Yeah. All right. Anything else from that auction that really popped out at you? I mean, it sounds like it was. I don't know. Was it an auction that was a bit out of the trend that we have been seeing here recently? It sounds like prices were fairly strong.
Yeah, you could say that. That's a good observation, Chip. But again, because generally prices have been, you know, obviously we understand why, but have been pulling back somewhat. Now, this sale, again, if we analyze, you know, this was low-hour equipment. Again, 1,020 hours on a 7830. But the age, you know, that 7830's got some, it's pretty deaf stuff, basically. And then you run across something like a 555E backhoe or that Case 2390 with those kind of low hours. We would expect, you know, premium pricing. But then it's interesting to me because it was in eastern North Carolina, which is a very vibrant agricultural area. I've been down there a number of times and hope to spend more time there going forward. But, again, the first 30 years I was doing this, you know, any sales out of the southern part of the country, no matter how nice the equipment was, they just didn't quite compare to Iowa, Minnesota, Illinois, Ohio prices. But that kind of got chucked out the window through the pandemic. And when the good stuff shows up there now like this, it just shows you that, you know, with online bidding, your buyers are coming from everywhere. And, you know, it's just a different ballgame.
Right. Okay. All right. You've got an awesome story to share on Jason. Let's hear that.
Yeah, the auctioneer on that sale Saturday was Jason Acock, fantastic young auctioneer I've been working with for a while now. And Jason has a sale coming up Saturday, November 9th in Lewisburg, North Carolina. And he reached out to me a couple weeks ago and he said, "Hey, Pete, just want to chat about this." And of course, we're coming off of the hurricane Helene that just devastated, you know, western North Carolina, eastern Tennessee with flooding, flash flooding, landslides, roads washed out. And of course, in farm country, I mean, the story has been difficult to report because it's been so hard to physically get there. But Jason is a good dude. And he said, "Pete, on this Saturday, November 9th auction, I want to sell my own personal Alice Chalmers 8070 mechanical front tractor. It's got 9,332 hours, very sharp tractor. And Jason's going to donate 100% of the proceeds to help the farmers in western North Carolina who are struggling so much to recover from the hurricane." Nice. And so I'll be posting some more info. Watch for this, folks. But you can, if you want to check it out, sales on ProxyBid, you can, of course, check it out there, or acockauctioneering.com. Again, it's Saturday, November 9th. And Jason is going to sell the tractor, but then also open it up and say, you know, if anyone wants to, you know, tack on a little contribution. And again, 100% of the money goes to help farmers and ranchers that are really struggling, you know, to get hay and with devastated roads. They're just really having a tough time there.
He'll make sure that it gets used right.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Jason's working with Farm Bureau in North Carolina very closely. Yep. And again, watch upcoming episodes of Machinery Pete TV. We'll be telling more about this story, folks.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. Talk to me, stay in the Southeast and talk to me about the sales there at AgPro.
Yeah, this was a big sale. A lot of eyes on this last Tuesday. Sale by Merit Auctions. AgPro, of course, a great John Deere dealership with a huge footprint from Ohio down into the Southeast, Georgia. They had another online auction with some very late model equipment of interest. They had a 22 model John Deere X9 1000 combine, 585 engine hours, sold for $440,000. Now that's interesting. If I look at the average auction price on X9 1000 so far this year, it's about $473,000. I've seen them as high as $585 and as low as $385.5. Had a 23 model John Deere S780 combine, 249 engine hours, went for $407,500. That's a little bit above the average auction price on a 23 model S780 so far this year, just over $369,000. Couple tractors of note. They had a 23 model Case IH Steiger 500 quad track, 256 hours. That went for $385,000. And then a pair of John Deere 8R410s, 23 model, 416 hours for $357,500. And a 22 model, same hours basically, 415 hours for $352,500. And Chip, when I look at the John Deere 8R410s now, so far this year, the average auction price, again, those brought $357,500, $352,500. Average is $348,005. And that's surprising. That's only down 11.4%, which, you know, it's, you know, kind of a late model tractor. You'd expect some depreciation. But where we're seeing more of the heavy depreciation is on the, you know, a little bit of that a couple years older, type stuff. So again, those were interesting prices last Tuesday for our friends at AgPro company there. Okay.
All right. All right. Hey, jump out to the sale that is happening on Thursday. Give us a bit of a preview there.
Yeah, Thursday. I just posted this on social media. It's by our friends at Ulmer Auction out in Monacan. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. Monacan, North Dakota, for gooseneck implements. So it's kind of a monster mash Halloween auction. No reserve sale on Thursday. 18 John Deere tractors, 25 to 185 horse, 15 John Deere Gators side-by-sides, 20 lawnmowers, 6 round balers. Again, it's Ulmer Auction. This sale is also their new grand opening at their Monacan, North Dakota site. I think it's right off I-94 there. Free lunch. But again, a great buying opportunity kind of on the lower horse tractors, gators, lawnmowers, a few round balers. Check it out, folks. It's ulmeronlineauctions.com. Sale is on Halloween on Thursday.
All right. All right. So, you know, over the years, does it pay to have an auction on Halloween? Great.
You know,
have you not done the research on that?
No, I haven't. I would say people are in a good mood. I would say prices tend to be a little higher. Great question, Chip. Maybe it's a candy rush.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, buddy. Thank you so much. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds great, Chip.
All right. Greg Peterson, Machine Repeat here on AgriTalk. We're talking E15 in California with Jeff Cooper from RFA up next.
Spring floods, fall floods.
There's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Extreme weather cost American farmers over $21 billion in 2023.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops.
These USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America.
Conservation practices that help farmers weather these storms are at risk in the Farm Bill.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Climate smart farming is just smart farming. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. And more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted...
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a micro-epoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The micro-epoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Milk markets are mixed. With this WRDN market update, I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, November milk up 6 to 2010, December down 13 to 2009, January down 3 to 1989, February up 17 at 1979. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, live cattle markets are mostly lower. Feeder cattle moving mostly higher. Now, for the live cattle markets, the market is hoping to find continued fundamental support, but won't find the answers until later this week. So the trade is being cautious on the live cattle side. Feeder cattle are higher. The Friday cattle on feed report showed placements down 2% from a year ago, and that is actually helping to support the markets, along with some strength in the stock market. Hog markets moving mostly higher as the pork cutout values sharply higher today, and that is supporting prices. October live cattle down 20 cents to $189.50. October feeder cattle up 32 cents to $249.95. December hogs up 70 cents to $80.37. Chicago Board of Trade corn, soybeans, and wheat all sharply lower. Big drop in the energy markets has led to a sell-off in the grains. Also, soybean products moving mostly lower, providing some additional pressure. And even some positive weather as well for soybean planting and the winter wheat crops, all pressuring the market. New crop 25 corn down 2.5 to 438 and a quarter. New crop 25 beans down 11 and a quarter to 1021 and a half. December wheat down 7.
Farmers, it's harvest time, and the last thing you need is downtime while waiting for parts for your equipment. Need custom hydraulic hoses and fittings? See Durand Napa. Need hard-to-find parts? See Durand Napa. Need bulk oil or hydraulic fluid? See Durand Napa. Durand Napa also has filters with low prices throughout the entire year and has specialty tools for your equipment. Keep your equipment working throughout the harvest with Napa Know-How from Durand Napa, Madison Street, Durand.
Tax season is just around the corner. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sundstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sundstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sundstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sundstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
I don't know what you're thinking!
So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip, and E15 jumped back into the spotlight on Friday. And it's because California Governor Gavin Newsom said on Friday that he wants CARB, the California Air Resource Board to make to up the priority to on E15 and to make a decision on whether or not E15 can be sold in that California market. Jeff Cooper, president and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association, joins us right now to talk about that. Jeff, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm doing great, Chip. How are you this morning?
Good, good, good. Now, this what Governor Newsom is looking for, is this to make E15 available or E15 available year-round? What exactly is he looking for?
Well, he's simply asking CARB to pick up the pace on their process to approve the allowance of E15 in the state of California. And because of California's unique regulatory environment, it would have year-round availability from day one. So we wouldn't have that same summertime barrier in California that we have in other states. He's simply saying, look, CARB, we've been waiting for years for you to go through the formal rulemaking process to allow the sale of E15. We're at a point now where you know, California has the highest gas prices in the nation. I think everybody knows that. They're going to go even higher because, you know, refineries are closing down in the state of California. They've got other new policies that they think are going to add to gas prices. So the governor, I think, is looking for solutions to help keep a lid on gas prices, and he rightly has turned to E15 as one of those solutions. We have been, I think, as you know, Chip, working with or trying to work with CARB for the last 6 or 7 years to get them to approve the use of E15 in that state. They've been dragging their feet. They've done all the testing. They've done all the emissions analysis. They've done all the technical work, but they haven't taken that final step of, you know, approving the fuel via their rulemaking process. The governor's letter is telling them, hey, it's time to get on it and get that done.
Yeah, okay. It seems like Newsom jumps from economic to environmental and back again when he's making a push to get anything done on the fuel side of things. Which is it this time? Is it economic or environmental?
Well, fortunately for us, it's both, and ethanol checks both of those boxes. E15 checks both of those boxes. But what is really driving this current conversation, Chip, is the economic side. Governor Newsom is under immense pressure right now about gas prices in the state of California. Consumers are sick and tired of paying the highest prices in the country, and not by a little bit, by a wide margin. And so there is a lot of political pressure, a lot of political heat on both the governor and the legislative body out there to do something about it. That's why the governor called the legislature back for a special session this fall to specifically to focus on proposals that could address high gas prices. E15 was on the table in that special session for a while. It made it through one chamber of the legislature, but not through their Senate. So I think, you know, in the wake of all of that, the governor is now saying again, look, E15 needs to be at the top of the list when we look at solutions for keeping gas prices down. His letter to CARB actually cited a study by economists at the University of California, Berkeley. So we're not talking about, you know, economists at Iowa State or Illinois or anywhere else. We're talking about UC Berkeley did a study that said, hey, if California allowed E15 statewide, that could put, you know, 20 cents per gallon back in the pockets of California drivers. It could save you 20 cents a gallon if they had access to E15.
And then, Jeff, to counter that, I saw one piece of quote-unquote analysis on this that said that if this is allowed, it would raise the cost of gasoline by 47 to 65 cents per gallon. I don't understand that at all. Help me.
Yeah, so we saw that article too, Chip, and began digging into it. And I think where the confusion comes in is there are really two things that CARB is looking at right now. One is, hey, do we get off our tails and get E15 done? And number two is they've got new amendments to their low carbon fuel standard that they are going to be voting on in another week or so. And that article is saying if those changes to the LCFS get adopted, that's going to cause higher gas prices. Not the E15 piece. So I think that's where there's been some confusion. And again, I think the governor's looking at that and recognizing that, yeah, if some of these LCFS changes go through, making it harder for low-cost renewable fuels like ethanol to contribute to their LCFS, you know, that could put upward pressure on gas prices. What can we do to counteract that? And that's where E15 comes into play.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that those two pieces of analysis can exist at the same time. One saying, listen, it'll drop prices by 20 cents. The other one says it'll raise prices by 50 cents. It's talk about frustrating.
Well, it is.
I mean, it's frustrating to me. I can't even believe what it would be to you.
Well, you know, fortunately, Chip, we've been able to go to lawmakers in the state of California and folks in the governor's office with real world evidence from 31 other states that are currently selling E15. We're able to show them pictures of price marquees and actual pumps so they can see with their very own eyes what the price differential is for E15. And we can show them in Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, you'll take your pick. E15 is going to be 15 to 20 to 25, 30 cents cheaper than E10. In some places, it's going to be even more of a differential than that. So we've been able to show them that evidence. And I think we've convinced many in the state that E15 absolutely would be an economic benefit for drivers out there.
Okay. All right. One thing about this is it's important across the country for this because there are so many states that seem to follow California's lead on issues like this. If California gets this done in short order, finally gets this done, would you expect other states to follow?
Well, we certainly have seen many cases in the past where California does something and then very shortly thereafter, Oregon and Washington do the same thing and the states in the Northeast do the same thing. So, we think if California makes E15 a priority and you've got the governor, you've got Governor Newsom out there saying, hey, this is a win-win. Those were his words. This is going to lower gas prices. It's going to keep our air clean. That's going to get the attention of governors in those other states. It is important. And we're very encouraged by what we saw out of the governor's office late last week. And we hope that that's, you know, enough to get CARB again unstuck and off a dead center and get this thing done. There's no reason to keep dragging their feet on this.
Okay. All right. Couple of other issues here real quick. What's your message to the Treasury Department regarding 45Z details?
That message is simple. Get a proposal out. Get a proposal out. We're headed into November. There's two months left in this year. We're 2 months away from that tax credit taking effect by law, and we have no details, not even proposed details on how this tax credit is going to operate in practice. So get it out so we can start chewing on it, and the industry and our partners in agriculture can begin to plan and look ahead to next year. So that's message number one. Number two is don't screw it up, and you know, learn, take the lessons that we learned from 40B, the SAF credit, and don't repeat those. If we're going to include farming practices, which we should, don't tie them together. Don't bundle them. Allow farmers to pick and choose what practices work best for their operations, and allow those practices to be incorporated into the life cycle analysis in a straightforward and simple manner.
Right. Okay. All right. Not a lot of time left, but there was news on small refinery exemptions here recently. Basically what it is, or correct me if I'm wrong, there's going to be a decision on which courts can decide SRE court cases, right, or requests.
That's correct, Chip. The Supreme Court recently decided that they were going to hear our appeal, and an appeal from EPA of a decision out of the Fifth Circuit, which is down in the Gulf Coast region, where the Fifth Circuit Court, you know, thought it had the authority to issue a decision on a challenge from small refiners to their denial of their SRE petitions. And we said, hey, that court should have never heard that challenge. It's the wrong venue. only the D.C. Circuit can hear those cases. So now the Supreme Court is going to sort that out. And we are confident and certainly hopeful that they're going to agree with us and agree with EPA that the proper venue for any challenges to the RFS, including small refinery exemptions, is the D.C. Circuit Court. That's where that belongs.
And the reason for that is because it's federal law.
That's right. The Renewable Fuel Standard is a national program. If you give out an exemption, it lowers the national amount of renewable fuels that are going to be blended. So the statute is very clear. The law is very clear that issues that have that nationwide scope belong in the D.C. Circuit when there's any challenges to those regulations.
Yep. All right. Hey, Jeff, it's always great to get you on the show here, man. Thank you so much for making time for us.
Hey, always happy to do it, Chip. Have a great week.
All right, you too. You too. Jeff Cooper, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. Okay, Davis and I will be right back. We've got some summaries to do here, including, I think it's more than just Oregon and Washington that might be influenced by California.
At Jerry Bear & Sons, your Golden Harvest seed dealer, their best skill is knowing how to listen. Because once they understand your operation and goals, they can offer the right products to perform in your fields. From the Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to expert insights, it's an answer to what they have heard from you. Get fall cash discounts when you order your Golden Harvest seeds now at Jerry Bear & Sons, just off Highway 25, Durand.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Eric Hovde's been caught lying again. Caught lying about Tammy Baldwin 20 times in his ads. The latest, quote, Hovde falsely claimed that Tammy Baldwin supports sex change surgery on minors. The truth? Tammy Baldwin doesn't support that, and there's no sex change surgeries on minors anywhere in Wisconsin. None. Hovde also lied about Baldwin, quote, giving our money to a transgender clinic. That's been found false 3 different times. The Journal Sentinel says the truth is Baldwin supported mental health funding for a homeless youth shelter. That's right. Hovde's attacking a place for homeless kids. We all know what Eric Hovde is doing. He's trying to scare you. But they are all lies. Wisconsin is better than this. We're not going to let some billionaire California banker lie his way into the United States Senate.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
Joining us now is Dustin DeMoss from Nutrien. Dustin, the crop is coming out of the field, and growers are thinking about the 2025 planting season. Part of that might include some fall nitrogen applications. Who should apply nitrogen in the fall, and what do you want them thinking about when they make that decision?
So when you think about nitrogen applications in the fall, there's a lot of considerations that you take into account: temperature, soil conditions, etc. So when you think about applying a product like ESN in the fall, ESN, a polymer-coated urea, makes it a fully protected nitrogen source and a controlled-release nitrogen fertilizer. So when we look at fall application of ESN, our studies have shown that it is a great choice for fall applications in the northern corn belt in states like Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, and areas of Wisconsin, where fall applications allow you to get in there when the temperature is correct for fall application of nitrogen and when the soil conditions are fit, as well as when the growers have time after harvest to be able to apply nutrients in the fall.
Yep. Dustin, does it fit one tillage practice better than others?
Yes, it is a very versatile use product and fits very well in many different tillage management systems.
Yeah, I would imagine that it would work particularly well with strip-till, wouldn't it?
ESN has become very popular in strip-till. Not only the performance of the ESN product being a controlled release and fully protected nitrogen fertilizer, but when you look at strip-till, the way they place nutrients in a specific zone in those strips works really, really well for the nutrients to be available to the plant. And a lot of the strip-till systems, the flowability of ESN is very, very good through the systems that are delivering the nutrients through those strip-till equipment pieces.
All right, good stuff. Where can listeners go for more information, Dustin?
For more information about ESN, you can go to smartnitrogen.com.
Smartnitrogen.com. Thank you, Dustin. That is Dustin DeMoss with Nutrient.
Always up early. Always getting the job done. Always working as hard as you can. Always pushing for more. Because you never settle. For farmers who seek outstanding performance they can count on, the only brand is DeKalb Corn. Featuring a broad portfolio of products precision bred to maximize profit potential on every field. DeKalb brand. Never settle. See us at DeKalb.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
For some farmers, soybeans are on their mind 24/7. If you're all about the beans, then Asgrow brand is all about you. That's why we've dedicated ourselves to developing truly localized products. Products with leading genetics and top-tier weed management. Products that maximize the profit potential on every acre you've got. You're serious about soybeans, and we're serious about your success. Visit Asgrow.com. It's all about the beans. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here in attendance. Let's see. I'm going down my list. Flory.
Yes.
Flory.
Yes. Here.
Flory is
present.
Here as well.
Present.
Present. Okay. We're all accounted for here.
Okay. Good. Good.
You threw out a little teaser there about the influence of California rulemaking, legislation, etc. We know that Oregon and Washington are pretty friendly as far as, you know, state governments go to some of these ideas coming out of California. That's probably as far as that influence reaches, though, isn't it? It just kind of stays there in the PNW,
no.
Should we call it?
No, it's
huh?
not. No.
Huh?
No, the influence when it comes to environmental issues in particular, I think, is much farther reaching than Oregon and Washington. Minnesota, even though Minnesota has been a leader on ethanol since day one, it is still shows the influence of California decisions, rulemaking, so on, in some of its biofuels issues. I'm not saying that they are always, you know, that Minnesota just replicates what California is doing. I'm not saying that by any stretch. Am I saying that Minnesota, there are some in Minnesota that will try to replicate what's happening in California? Probably. But the influence, it on something like E15 goes so much further. And the reason that I think that this is important, and one of the big reasons I wanted to talk about this on the show today, was Tim Burrock, a farmer in Arlington, Iowa, Northeast Iowa, reminded us. He's been on the show on the Farmer Forum and on the Free for All, and yep. I mention him from time to time. But he reminded me during the Free for All on Friday that Vivek Ramaswamy, when he was running for president, basically said, listen, just give me E15 across the country and we're going to solve a lot of the problems with biofuel and corn demand and so on and so forth. We're going to solve a lot of the problems, but let's make it the default fuel rather than E10. Okay.
Okay.
And there was a lot of analysis done on that at the time, and it makes a big difference. Is it the next thing that ushers us into the next golden era of agriculture? Maybe not. Is it a 50-cent difference on corn? Maybe. So I think the more that California puts E15 into the spotlight, the more likely it is to be something that other states in other parts of the country will also be considering and pushing for going forward. Yeah.
And if we look at things like, what was it, Proposition 12 with the hogs, and then you wind up clear on the other coast in, was it Maryland or Massachusetts?
Massachusetts.
With question three.
Massachusetts. Yeah.
Similar sort of legislation there. So certainly there's.
Right. It matters. Yeah. It matters. Yeah. No doubt. Mm-hmm. No doubt. Mm-hmm.
Couple things I wanted to just run by here. Some things we didn't get to in the news, if we could just real quick.
Absolutely.
Brian Winnikens from WRDN in Wisconsin has been keeping us apprised of the situation here. The Iowa Department of Agriculture has euthanized approximately 1.3 million chickens that it had taken custody of following the bankruptcy of Pure Prairie Poultry. The drastic action came after the state failed to find buyers for the birds, largely due to creditors' claims on the broilers. So sad end to the Pure Prairie Poultry saga, at least for the chickens themselves.
And I think if they could have found processing space, there they would have been able to find a buyer.
Yeah.
Because they would have been sold for 10 cents on the dollar, something like that.
Sure.
But they just, I don't think they could find the processing space to get those birds from the feeder barns into the into consumers' hands.
Mm-hmm. My wife and I were talking about that just this morning. You know, isn't there some other place that these birds could have gone? Couldn't we just have? Well, no, because the processors have limits. They can't have a bunch of extra birds laying around. You know what I mean? They can only process as many. They have a threshold there. And beyond that, you're going to wind up with dead, stinky birds out back. And nobody wants that.
And we've got to remember that a processing plant closed in all of this. So we took capacity out of the industry. When you take capacity out of the industry, I don't care if we're talking about poultry or pork or beef. When you do that, you're going to put stressors out there in the industry. And this is one that they couldn't find the room is what it sounds like.
Yep. Yeah. No place to put them. Another quick one here. The American Soybean Association, the ASA, expressed concern over new restrictions imposed by the EPA on glufosinate P herbicide. Citing pressure from environmental groups, the finalized registration released on October 18 unexpectedly tripled runoff points and added a 10-foot ground spray drift buffer. Is this on your radar at all, buddy, right now?
Well, it's just more of the same from this EPA tightening down on chemicals that have been proven to be reliable, have been proven to be safe, and they just keep tightening down and tightening down, and it's adding. It's not adding. It's removing opportunities and removing tools that work, which means that you got to go to something else, which may not be as reliable or as environmentally safe, or as it's just
not fit your system. The whole
right, thing. It's creating consequences downstream. All right, good stuff, Davis. Thank you so much. Come back this afternoon. Sam Hudson, Corn Belt Marketing, here on AgriTalk.
If you're applying a low-rate nitrogen stabilizer, you might be falling for a losing strategy. Low-rate products promise great results, but may lack the potency of higher active ingredient concentrations. So great isn't always what you get. Instead of putting your yield at risk, put your trust in Anvil Nitrogen Stabilizer and Super U Premium Fertilizer from Koch Agronomic Services. Both offer higher active ingredient concentrations imitator brands can't match. See the difference at defendyourn.com.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people, obviously. But what's more, MediShare members like it a lot. They're satisfied.